All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offense's dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always great to check in with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde about the Green Bay Packers. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing on this Friday?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. Did you know Chewy is now officially a Florida State resident? He got his Florida license yesterday at the DMV, and that got us thinking, is the DMV, why do I keep saying DMB? Dave Matthews.
I was about
band.
To say, I don't
Good
know, are you
grief.
Going to a concert this weekend?
Hey, my friends. No, DMV. Is the DMV as bad as people think it is? Have you ever had a bad experience at the DMV?
No, I don't think it's nearly as bad as people think it is. Although, I must admit, I made a pretty big mistake when I went to get my driver's license the first time. And that was, I told two of my best friends what time my test was, and they decided to follow me throughout my test.
Wow!
So that's not really the DMV's fault.
Those are good friends. Those are really good friends.
They were great friends, and it was hilarious, and I have to give them a ton of credit for being so funny back when we were both, or when we were all 16 years old, but that's the only, and it's not even a negative memory because I love telling that story because it really depicts what kind of friend Steve was. But, that's the only really DMV-related problem I've ever had, honestly.
That is a great story, Jason. Thank you for sharing that with us this morning. I think our loyal listeners could send in their very best DMV stories, and no one would even come close to that. You getting your license and telling your buddies what time your test was and them following you around during the driving portion of your test is incredible. Thank you so much for that.
I hope I get credit for still passing the test despite that additional pressure.
At what?
But yes, it was fun.
At what point in your driving test did you realize they were behind you?
When I got into the car, they were parked directly behind me.
Did they wave? Hi, Jason.
Steve definitely waved. He was behind the wheel, and I was like, "You got to be kidding me!" But they were. He would later explain that he was just trying to be supportive, which was a pretty funny line in and of itself. But I did pass, and now the scary thing is that I'm getting to the age where the girls are on the cusp of learning how to drive and getting their driver's licenses. And being the helicopter parent that I am, I'm the kind of guy that would follow them around, more worried about them than trying to make them nervous.
Jason, talk to me about this NFL Sunday Ticket lawsuit, because I'm seeing both sides where, Gabe, was it Andrew Brandt said this won't affect the cap? Now I'm
Correct.
Seeing articles that it will affect the cap. The Packers' cut of this lawsuit is like $449 million, which sounds kind of debilitating. Do I smell a stock sale? I mean, that's a big chunk of money. Do you know how much they have in the kitty?
They're at like 700 and some million. I don't, like, first of all, I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on the radio. But don't we think that this will get appealed
knocked
and
out?
This will continue to, well, it'll at least get, I would think, decreased. They certainly lost the first round, but I think there's more than one round when we're looking at lawsuits and, I don't know, David Gruber could explain this far better than I can. I would just say this. The NFL is a monopoly, right? Like, we all agree that.
Yes.
It doesn't matter that the UFL exists and all the other stuff. My issue with this would be, I think this underscores how they basically take as much money as they can from their fans. And I'm not saying, I understand it's capitalism. I totally get that. But I was talking, I was on Rutledge at Hamilton yesterday. Molly Brown was in for Jim Rutledge, and Matt and she and I were talking about Ed Policy ascending to the presidency, and they asked me what Ed Policy they should institute when he becomes president, which I thought was kind of clever. And I went off on my typical rant of that the NFL and the Packers specifically, the Packers love their narrative about how they're owned by their fans. They don't have a deep-pocketed billionaire owner, all those things. But their actions don't match their narrative, right? They don't really do anything for those shareholders who ponied up the $250. They don't, like, they like the story, but they don't really, their actions don't match it. And the NFL does commercials that talk about how the NFL is family. I don't know. I'm not an expert on family, but, you know, I would think that if you were, say, selling your Packers tickets to someone in your family, you would sell them at face value. You wouldn't inflate the price on them. And so they are a money grab organization as a whole, and they have maximized those TV contracts, not just to the benefit of the salary cap going up and players making more money, but more importantly, to the deep pockets of their billionaire owners of their various franchises. So, look, this was a setback for them, no question. But again, it's not going to affect in the short term. Whether or not it ends up being a long-term impact on the salary cap and everything else, I think your instant reaction to the judgment is yes, right? Because that is a lot of money that they're going to have to pay out. But I think that this battle is not over yet.
Yeah, just for the record, post-trial motions, July 31st, there is one in there that is going to include setting aside the verdict. So to Jason's point, that is still happening. So the Packers have over $700 million. So even if, let's say, this goes terribly and nothing else happens and the Packers have to pay the almost $450 million, they can cover their end of that, is what you're saying, with what they have in the kitty.
So is it $450 million for each of the 32 teams?
Correct, per team. $450 yeah. per team. Mm-hmm. So the $4.7 billion in damages for residential class, $96 million in damages for the commercial class, which would be like the bars and whatnot that paid for Sunday ticket.
Wow, I wish I would have gotten in on that. I would have made like $6.
So, it still stings, though, Jason.
Yeah.
Even if they have to pay $200 million, it's going to hurt.
Oh, no doubt it's going to. And again, I am sure, and I did not follow this case until I saw the news yesterday that they had lost, which isn't that part of the story here? Like, the NFL seems like it never loses. Like, they never lose. And it feels like this is one of the reasons why it's newsworthy, is that they finally lost. And whether or not, like Gabe said, it gets set aside or the number gets reduced, I would be surprised if they don't end up paying something out, right? Wouldn't you?
I would not be shocked if they end up paying nothing.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Like, it just wouldn't be shocking if this like gets appealed and, you know, the higher courts say, no, the NFL was fine in what they did. Like, it just wouldn't be it wouldn't be shocking to me, is what I'm saying.
Well, all I know is that it will not affect the Jordan Love contract, which, as we talked about yesterday, should be done before this is going through the court system.
Phew, thank goodness for that. Jason, excuse me, the 33rd team put out an article this morning saying best team at every NFL position headed into the 2024 season. It might shock you, it might not, that the Packers were not named at any of the positions as having the best unit at any of the positions. San Francisco 49ers have an awful lot of them. The Kansas City Chiefs have several of them as well. What position do the Packers have the best case of by the end of the year having the best unit?
Well, that's a really good question. Let me take this in a different direction briefly and just ask, Have we inflated how good they are? Because I saw Orlovsky, not on our show when he was on without me, but on a different program that he was on, put the Packers in the second tier of teams. And I felt like,
seeing some of the reaction from Packers fans that there was a surprise to that for Packers fans. Like, they're not a second-tier team. They're a first-tier team. And I'm curious, are we, you know, have we, I don't want to say forgotten, because I don't feel like I've forgotten. I didn't forget what happened in the first half of the season. I didn't forget what happened against the Giants. I didn't forget that they almost blew that lead on Christmas Eve in Carolina. But is it almost as if their flaws have become less noticeable and we're more focused again on potential? And it's so different than where we were a year ago, where we had no idea what the hell they were going to be, that it's almost as if when you say something like that, that none of their players were the top player at the position, that shouldn't be surprising to me at all. And yet it kind of is, just based on the narrative of the offseason of what the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love. I mean, we just got done here in Tannenbaum. Of the 33rd team, say that there's no one else on the planet other than Mahomes that he'd want to start a franchise with now.
Yeah, but I guess it's not that shocking, though, Jason, because, yeah, where would that be? Yeah, they have depth at wide receiver, but there's still growth that needs to happen. I think there's still growth that needs to happen all around there. I'm still skeptical about the defense and some of the growth that needs to happen there. I'm optimistic about it, but there's nobody on this roster who's 100% established as, oh, yeah, I don't even have to worry about this the way that Rodgers would have been, or Devontae would have been, or Clay Matthews, just like some of the guys that would have been considered the tops at their position over the years. They still don't have that across
the roster.
Well,
I guess I would make a case then towards the end of the season for maybe the defensive backs position. If you get Jair at the top, you know, at his best, if you have Xavier McKinney at his best, maybe you could combine the and say that the defensive backs would be their strong suit. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there as they are not listed on any of these as having the best unit at any of the positions right now. By the end of the season, could they?
But even though they have those two strong pieces, there are major question marks at the other safety position, at the other quarterback position.
Yeah, we still have to evaluate the defense because we got to place the blame, whether how much of it was Joe Barry or how much was it the players. We might go through this thing, and their defense might be 15th again and go, oh, well, maybe it wasn't 100% Joe Barry. Maybe it was 50% and 50% the players.
A little salt in the wound here, as they did say that the linebacking core for the San Francisco 49ers is best in the league. That, of course, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, and Devondre Campbell.
I think it has more to do with the first two than maybe the last one,
they
but I digress.
Well,
he's on the roster.
I'm just saying,
he's on the roster.
They included him in the best linebacker unit in the league. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
When is Dre Greenlaw even going to play? He ruptured his Achilles in the Super Bowl.
That is an excellent point by you.
I mean, maybe he gets on that Aaron Rodgers plan, and he's back by midseason.
Or at least makes you think he might be back by midseason, and then isn't back at all. All right, guys, have a great day. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after this very program and on all the other shows here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now, bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.